here's something we hope you really like.
You're listening to
Creating Daily.
There's something wrong with you. You know that?
Because you and I are like a mullet. Sid is the business, so he's the front part of the haircut, and then I'm the party in the back.
I think they're hilarious.
Speaks to me. It's like he's saying what I'm thinking.
What is going on, everyone? Happy Monday. It is Monday. It is the first episode of the week over here at Creating Daily. I'm your host, Billy Thorpe, and I'm super excited about today's episode. I got the man, the myth, the legend, Ross Brand, going to be joining me in just a few minutes after we do some setup here, some segments. Man, he is an incredible guy, is really just an active influencer voice in the live streaming space. So he's a live streaming strategist, he's an author, he's a public speaker, and he just dropped a new book, the volume number 2 of 100 Live Streaming and Digital Media Predictions. For whatever reason, I didn't have the first volume, but I am so hooked on the second volume. We're going to get into it and talk about live streaming, talk about the book, talk about why you need to go buy the book. Actually, just stop watching this podcast and go buy the book. It's that great. It's awesome. And if you're in the industry as a creator, it's one of those have to reads. And if you're a business owner, it's a even more have to read, because I think there's a lot of cool business stuff in there that I honestly did not expect. So I'm going to be bringing Ross on here in just a few minutes. But before I do, make sure that you smash that subscribe button right there. Actually, you can't push it on the screen, but find one close to you. If you're watching on Bullhorn or if you're watching over on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button and maybe even hit the share button if you're feeling super generous and you like this content. And also, if you have questions along the way, feel free to put ask a question. Or if you're ever on Bullhorn, jump into the little question section there, drop a question, and we'll answer them as we can or as we go along, or maybe we'll do a Q&A session at the end. Just depends on how many things are coming on. So already see Livestream Universe, which is Ross over in the chat, saying hello. So be sure to say hello to him there in the chat as well. Now, I'm going to be quiet and get over to tool time, tell you about this cool tool that I've been using, and then we'll get in the creator highlight, and we'll bring Ross on.
What? It's tool time with Creating Daily.
All right, so I don't know about you, but when I'm live streaming or podcasting, sometimes I have guests on, and I've gotten complaints, actually, with my fishing show of like, hey, the volume is all over the place. Like, you're high, you're low, I got to crank it up and down in my car. And so I asked this question in a clubhouse room, like, how do I fix that? And my friend Sean Savage said, you got to go get Ulean loudness meter. So this looks like the second version of this. It's a free software that you can use, download it right on your computer. I have a Mac. I don't know if it works on PC or not, but the Ulean loudness meter literally helps you find that true perceived loudness for your audio. So it prepares like for TV, for live streaming. And so before I jump on a live, I check my audio and try to get it to like somewhere between negative 16 and negative 23 lufs, depends on the platform. I try to get negative 23. Anyway, I don't even know what that really means, to be honest with you. But I did what these audio pros told me to and been getting some great results from it. So go check that out. If you're having volume control issues or whatever, get a loudness meter, check yourself, check your guest, and dial it in a little bit more. So hopefully, as this show's been going on, the audio's gotten a little bit more balanced. All right, now let's jump over to my next segment, which is one of my favorite segments, by the way. And if you're a creator or you know another creator and you want to nominate someone for this spot, feel free to reach out to me. Just go to onesheet.pro/BillyThorpe and hit connect and send me a message. And let me know who your favorite creator is. I'll check out their stuff and promote them on the show. But here we go with the creator highlight.
Creator highlights.
No cooking necessary, no assembly required.
It's got to be funky.
All right, today's creator highlight is brought to you by my friends over at OneSheet. So go to onesheet.pro/BillyThorpe and check out my OneSheet, and then you can scroll to the bottom, sign up for your own. And the best part about it is if you decide to buy a pro version of that, then I get an affiliate commission because they have an auto affiliate program built in. But this is literally a OneSheet on like creatine or whatever, like whatever muscle building thing. It's amazing. I have one. My friend Ross here has one as well that we can send you to. But go check that out if you're a creator on either side of the microphone. If you're trying to be on more shows, This makes it really easy for a guest to say yes when you're pitching yourself. Or if you have a show like me and you're trying to book a lot of guests, this also makes it really nice because you can send them there and they can apply to be on your show. So today's creator highlight goes to, I always want to say my friend because I watch his YouTube stuff so much. He feels like a friend, but Tom Buck, who is not my friend, is an acquaintance. I've talked to him one, you know, I fanboyed out one time on Clubhouse. Phenomenal YouTuber, live streamer, podcaster. Him and his wife are amazing in the creator space that we all live and love. And it's really just teaching a lot of people about the technology and all those things. So go follow Tom Buck on YouTube if you haven't already. Subscribe to his account. And he has a lot of great videos. So if you're curious about different, I mean, he covers everything from software to technology, all this fun stuff. So really great guys. And him and his wife do an awesome job with their podcast and all that kind of fun stuff. So anyway, once again, if you want to be a part of Creator Highlight or if you know another creator that you want to nominate for Creator Highlight, feel free to send me that info. Now that I've blasted through that because I've had too much coffee, I want to welcome on my newfound friend, Ross Brand, to the show, and we're going to dive into all things live streaming and live stream predictions and digital media predictions. Ross, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, Billy. It's great to connect with you, and it's so good to be on the show. I love what you're doing, going live every day and doing a podcast and a YouTube channel. You're living up to creating daily, and so it's great to be here, and thanks for having me on.
I know, man. I probably should have considered a different name. That way I wouldn't be like, you know, like, oh, you're going to create daily. All right, let's see it, you know. So, but, man, really appreciate you, Ross. You know, I know you got a lot of irons in the fire. You're helping all kinds of creators from how do I start a show to how do I monetize a show, how do I, you know, and now you're doing predictions for the last couple of years, which I'm really excited to talk about your new book here in a few minutes. But man, I got a question for you. How in the world did you get into live streaming? Of all the things that you probably could have done with your life,
yeah.
Why did you choose live streaming?
All right. So I worked in radio for about 12 years. I worked on air and radio, and then I went into doing other things, thought my broadcasting, being on mic days and were over, was never on camera. And I stumbled into a platform called Blab, and basically, I fell into talk radio heaven with webcams, and my thought was, okay, people are doing some really interesting things here. Somebody's got to cover it and help these people get noticed for what they're doing, help people find out when different shows are on. So my idea was I wasn't going to cross that line and go back on mic, or in this case on camera. I was going to cover what other people were doing, sort of be like the media for live streaming, or at least that was the idea. I mean, I was starting a company basically around nothing at that point, but with the idea, you know, maybe it could grow into something. And then I got a chance to call into what was called a Blab at the time. So basically four boxes, there'd be an open seat. Somebody goes, Ross, you might know something about this, jump in. Okay, I jump in. Well, that was kind of fun. All right. Maybe I'll be a guest to promote the website. Okay, so I was a guest again. And I go, you know, I don't know. Should I do a show? You said you weren't going to go back to doing this again. So, you know, but the show really would help promote the website. And so with that, I had my business justification, and I jumped in. And, of course, once I hosted the first show, I was hooked, really totally fell in love with broadcasting again, but this time doing it on my own terms, online, at the time I want, doing the subject matter, the style, being able to use broadcasting style tools. Obviously, my system was, you know, kind of basic in the beginning, my audio setup and my video setup, but the idea that you could do this from home, that you didn't need to get past the gatekeeper to do it, to, you know, you didn't have to get a tape into some director's hands at a radio station, or, you know, do a TV audition or anything. You could just go live and start doing what you do. And if it's good and an audience likes you, now you're sort of in business on your own. And so I loved it. And obviously the show took priority. I've continued to highlight what other people are doing in different ways, both by having them on my show, But more so than that, every year, starting with that first year, which was late 2015, getting ready for 2016, I asked a bunch of live streamers to do predictions of what they saw coming up for live streaming. And as 2015 turned to 2016, the big issue was, what does it mean that Facebook Live is going to start, and will that kill Blab? Blab kind of killed itself, and Facebook Live certainly finished the job for other similar platforms that wanted to be like that. But then it went through all these different technology comes and goes and stability issues. And now we've really gotten to a point with it where, you don't really need much of a tech background. I mean, I came from broadcasting. A lot of people come from marketing and social media. And some people, a small percentage, come from tech and that side of things. They know the gear. They know the systems. And that was a huge advantage pre-Blab. Mm-hmm. And even during Blab and during that time, if you wanted to raise the professionalism a little bit, you needed something like that. But now it's wonderful. Anybody can get on and do this stuff. And if you're not ready to, or you have something you need to learn, it's all out there and it's all in reach of the average person. So I fell in love with it. I kept doing shows. I started working with brands. I started helping other people get started. And I just love the talk radio format from radio really translated well to live streaming, because we did all our radio shows live. This is live. It's a similar mindset. Audiences are coming and going. You keep the show moving. You have different elements of it that hook people in, hopefully. And I it's just a lot of fun. I don't know what else to say about it, but I've loved it. And the predictions obviously are something that became kind of an institution, first for the industry and now more to a broader audience.
Yeah, man. First of all, thanks for sharing that backstory. I kind of heard a little bit of that because I watched you on Monty Weaver's show maybe a couple months ago, and heard you guys talking about Blab. Now, I never even knew what that was until I heard the term on Clubhouse. I was kind of like the 10 years ago, or maybe actually, gosh, I don't even want to say maybe, gosh, maybe even longer than that, maybe 10, 15 years ago, was helping other people create media, create TV, and I was more the producer role. So all the cameras, lights, nerdy, fun gear, right. Like, I kind of knew all that, but then to be on camera just made me, like, want to go, I was like, I can't do that. Like, that's too much.
Right.
But I couldn't figure out, how do I use all the stuff I learned over these last, because I went from that to owning a t-shirt printing company. And so I was like, how do I market? How do I get my message out? But then I'm like, how do I do all this techie stuff I learned? And that was it. Like you said, when I was doing it, it was super hard, super expensive. Luckily, someone else was paying the bill and I get to play with all the toys. And then fast forward, 10 years, it was like, oh, I can go live on my phone, like with my AirPods. Like, this is crazy, right. And so I love that you kind of gave us that history and progression, because I think it's easier now than ever. And it is a really cool, the live stream community is a lot of fun. It's really cool to be a part of that. So yeah, man, love that you shared that with us, Ross. And Missile, let's get into some predictions, because I think, I started doing this daily live show because I liked radio. I wanted to do a radio internet station until I learned that how much work it was going to take. And then someone told me, like, dude, why don't you just go live and go live on Bullhorn and YouTube and just like treat it like a radio show. And I was like, oh yeah, that's a pretty good idea. So I kind of got back into live streaming. And so when I read your book, and not that this is like a promo episode, so if anybody's listening, be like, oh no, they're gonna start promoing, but it's really stinking good. I love it. Yeah, I just sit here and thought, I didn't have a picture of the book. Like, what am I doing? but I purchased it as soon as it came out, or maybe not soon, but shortly after. And I've been reading it. And at first, Ross, I thought, oh, this is just gonna be like people writing long chapters about what their thoughts are for 2022. But dude, it's not. It's like, it's talking about short form content. It's like these little short to the point. Like, here's my prediction. I love it. So how did you even come up with this concept? Did you see this in some other industry and you're like, that's cool, I'm going to do it, or it come to you in a dream or what?
Like I said, there was so much discussion about what it meant with Facebook Live coming on. Twitter had bought Periscope. There were obviously technology concerns. People had different approaches. A lot of people at that time were doing mobile phone, what I like to call a walk and talk live stream or one to many live stream. There was no real way to bring on a guest. It tended to be very authentic for doing very personal content, mm-hmm. but not really professional if you were going live, let's say, on behalf of your business and wanted to interview somebody. And then there were other platforms like Blab that made it very easy to do a video podcast, as they're now, you know, known. But at that time, they were just called live streams. And it made it easy, but it didn't make the quality high, right? So you had a lot of stability issues. Would your broadcast get on the air? Would it actually be there when people showed up? Would people hear you? Would they see you? Would you have to restart again? And you had a lot of issues. And then there was, you know, higher bar things like OBS and Wirecast and things that would allow you total control to do a professional level broadcast, but required a high amount of learning and some proficiency with using those tools in order to pull that off. Not to mention, if you were producing by yourself, you had all your hands working, and if you only had two, it was a lot to do all you had to do to bring guests in there. So it was an interesting time, and I just thought, let's get the people have different views on this about what kind of content they want to see, whether this is going to ever become anything, whether anybody's ever going to make money from it. Are these platforms really committed to it? Are they going away? And I also thought, well, what a better way to both promote a whole bunch of people who I've gotten to know and appreciate and get them to send their audience to my website, which is do a roundup of people and put these predictions out.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to expect. And most people said yes. Some people didn't, but most people did. And they were well received. And so each year is sort of like, do I want to do this again or not? And each year my nature is like, okay, it's got to be better than last year. It's got to be bigger than last year. It's got to have some new element. And so when we ran out of ways to do that, we made a book out of it. And then we did a second book. But the first book came from was Livestream Universe's 5th anniversary party and show. I invited everybody who had ever, pretty much that I had an email for, who had ever been a guest on any of my shows, who had ever contributed to the predictions, basically anybody who was part of, you know, my network, my live streaming universe, if I had been on their show and was in touch. And so I invited a ton of people, and I ended up, I think about 80-something people wow. indicated they wanted to come on.
Wow.
And I think we ended up getting maybe 60-ish on during the time. And, you know, some people had to jump off and you know, go somewhere else. So they had to cancel last minute or whatever because of work. It was a Friday afternoon. We went live for like 5 hours.
Wow.
And my thinking wasn't that I'm going to do a book. My thinking was, I've got all these people here. How cool would it be to not have to chase them down for predictions after they come on and say happy 5th anniversary or whatever? I go, hey, for the 6th annual Livestream Universe predictions, do you have a prediction for 2021, right? And what happened was when people are doing it in a conversation rather than doing it in written form, you end up with a lot more content.
Yeah.
And then wow. on top of it, there's the conversation that takes place before the prediction and after the prediction, which had a lot of, you know, stuff in it that related to the history of live streaming and digital and when we met at events and things, which I thought, at least for industry people, would be of some interest. And then for people who were new to this, they'd have an idea that this was sort of a shared experience and there was a community element to it and a history behind it. So not to, to be too promotional, but so volume one came out, and volume one was about almost 100 pages more than the second book, because I transcribed the audio of all of those predictions.
Oh, gotcha. And
decided to include not only the heart of the prediction, but the back and forth with that person. So some of the context of how I got to know that person or how I would introduce them to the audience in the show. And then maybe after their prediction, I asked them a follow-up or two. And so I included all that. And then that was about 60, 70 something. I don't know. By the time I was done with those people and a few people who couldn't make it, but came on another show that I was doing at some point in around there. And I asked them for a prediction while I had them captive there and transcribed that. And then I said, well, you know, we need some more new content for the book. That's never been out anywhere, right? That's never been on a show. That's never been in a blog post. And so I reached out to about 25 to 30 more people who didn't act the first time around, or maybe I'd more recently gotten to know them and said, hey, do you want to do an exclusive chapter for the book? And that's how I got it to 100. Now, for the predictions for one of them, I think I had 160-something people.
Wow.
It was nuts for 1 year.
Wow.
But so this was 100 people. So the second book, while we're calling it 100 predictions again, and the chapters tend to be shorter, not all of them, but they tend to be shorter because the material is not me in conversation with the folks. It is really the prediction that they submitted. And that could be, you know, a few paragraphs, maybe a little longer, mini blog posts. Some people do, others share an idea or a thought. And what I did was, after I got those 100, I then asked 30 more people to participate. Again, either people who, you know, decided not to do it or didn't get the message the first time around, or just people who I go, ah, it would really be cool to take a shot at getting them in here. And so there, in addition to the 100 predictions, what this book has as its sort of value add to the predictions is 30 what I call ideas and strategies, which I asked people, you know, what advice would you give to somebody who's creating content in 2022 and beyond? And so people who are successfully monetizing live streaming, successfully growing an audience. And by the way, it's not just live streaming. I didn't just throw the digital media in there for the heck of it. When I ask people for a prediction, I say, could be about live streaming, podcasting, YouTube, vertical video, course creation, online entrepreneurship. I mean, I pretty much leave it wide open as long as it's in the sphere of, you know, digital media and online business. And so you have those 30 sort of strategy pieces, although there's strategy in the predictions, and within the strategy pieces, some people, not needless to say, have to kind of predict what's coming up to tell you why they're doing the strategy that they're doing. And then there's an extensive set of resources at the end. And I wrote a little epilogue about the challenges of publishing a first book as well. So Dale L. Roberts, who's an author himself and a real expert on self-publishing, he wrote the foreword to this book. And I wrote an introduction in which I kind of give the big picture, state of the union kind of thing as quickly as I can. Not at the same length that I did last year, but instead I drop in some tips for live streaming in 2022 and that, and then we get right into the prediction. So that's the book. That's kind of how it came together. But the heart of it is there's challenges that live streamers, content creators are facing in 2022 that I think make this in some ways a harder time, but also a time with more opportunity. But we're in a sort of a strange place right now with content creation. And you know, you're right there on the front lines of it and probably I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, that this is kind of a make or break a time for a lot of people who have been long-time small creators, solo creators, small business owners, relying on putting out content mm-hmm. online. Like, is this going to become something? Am I going to have an opportunity to make money at it so I can keep doing it?
Yeah.
And is it going to be an asset to my business, or am I getting squeezed out a little bit right now?
And I think one thing that you said in the book, you know, when you were writing the introduction here, I'm just going to find it.
Sure.
Real quick, the kind of the big pick. Where's it at? Come on. Of course, when I go to find something, I can't find. I'm scrolling around on my phone. I'm not just staring into oblivion here.
Page 5.
Here we go. So you know, and you talk about like being like, okay. So one, you kind of give a few tips, which is what I love about the book. I'm reading on my phone. So as somebody to give you a little feedback on it, as being a mobile reader on my Kindle app here. I love the flow of it, man. I love that it's concise. It's to the point. I'm not a big reader. I don't read a lot. And so when I do, right. I want to get the information. And so I appreciate the approach that you took with this volume too, of like, hey, let's get to the prediction, put it in there. Mm-hmm. But one thing that, you know, you mentioned in here is, you mentioned several tips, but tip number 3 that you kind of left here was look at alternative ways to monetize and don't depend on the volume of viewers on a public platform. And I love this because I was able to monetize super quickly with a fishing show based on the value of the audience, not on the size of the audience. And, you know, I think, like you said, a lot of people are creators. Maybe they've been doing it for a while. Maybe they just got started, but they're scratching their head going, is this worth it? Like, is this worth it? But a part of it is what you said here. I mean, I read that and I was like, dude, 100%, because I came into the industry and people are like, you need 1 million people to listen to your show. I'm like, never going to happen. Like, I just know my industry is like, it's not going to happen. Like, I'm too niche. I'm too, you know, precise where we're targeting. And I think this is a huge thing for people that are watching this or even hopefully they read this and get what I got, was like, yeah, you're right, man. I need to take the blinders off. Don't always just follow the rules I've been given and go at this thing in a different manner so I can monetize it and I can make it a part of my life. But the book is full of stuff like that. I mean, you know, from different people. And I think a couple of things about this I love, Ross, and I'm only like 28% in, so maybe when I get 100%, you know, I'll have a lot more thoughts. But you know, a couple of things. One, I'm meeting new creators through your book, just like you said, like you wanted to promote them. I met so many new creators already. I'm writing down names. I'm looking them up on the internet. I'm, you know, clicking links. And then I'm also, you know, seeing people I already know. So I feel like I'm supporting them. Like Kirk Nugent is one of the people I've read. Dave Jackson, I read a little blurb that he put in here as well, which is pretty fun. And then, you know, being inspired. Let's see, Jody Krangle, love her. And then Jennifer Quinn. So this is one thing I wanted to read out of here that I love, if you don't mind. And it's talking about digital marketing is about creating. And it says, in this creator economy, how to decide how you're going to show up and what you're going to create and master it. It says, identify your niche, research your client, your ideal client, where they're hanging out at, know that, and then go all in creating for that platform. You cannot be all things to all people, and that's okay. It's time to dial in who you are and how you want to show up, or you know, who this is for and how you want to show up. And so I love that this book is not just, hey, this is what I think is going to happen, but it's actionable steps. It is predictions, but it's also inspiration, man. I've been reading these pages and I'm learning so much, and you know, so I am, and from the creator perspective, but then also from the business perspective, there are so many business owners probably going to listen to this podcast that, like, man, if you're not doing these things, if you're not live streaming, if you're not showing up on video, if you're not showing up in a podcast or, you know, all these things that you're teaching people how to do through this book and through the contributors, I think there's a huge miss on there. So, man, after doing all these predictions, after meeting all these live streamers and you've interviewed thousands of people, what is, like, who's, like, doing one of the most interesting live shows that you could think of? Or what's one of the most interesting live shows you've seen? Not that they're still doing it, but that you've seen.
Wow. There's so many really good ones that I've watched and that I do watch. I love, you mentioned Dave Jackson. I love what he and Jim Collison do on Saturday mornings with Ask the Podcast Coach. It's still in many ways, although visually and the technology that they use and how they distribute it and where it goes may be different, it's still at its core two guys doing a podcast slash radio style show, talking about what interests them, what came up that week, what's going on in the industry, and more than that, taking the questions. What are people talking about? And you have an opportunity to go on and ask them questions. And they're just great guys. They're great ambassadors for podcasting. They've got great voices. They've got a lot of talent, tons of talent. They tell great conversations. I mean, just everything, like, you know, I look at Dave Jackson and I just go, that may be the most talented person that I know in podcasting. Yeah. I mean, just, he's so good. I've often said I think he could be a national network quality broadcaster of some sort. He's just that good. Everything from voice to storytelling to how he engages to how he presents a topic. And Jim's a tremendous talent who really pioneered podcasting and live streaming in the enterprise. And so I love their show just because I love the consistency. It's every Saturday. You know what you're getting. A community shows up around it every week. And so I'm a big fan of their show. I'm also a huge fan of Jenny Q, who you mentioned. She was actually the very first person that I ever invited on my show. Very first show, she was the person that I chose. And at the time, she was doing a show called The Daily Q Show. She later changed it to The Jenny Q Show, but at that time, it was called The Daily Q Show. And she was going live 5 days a week and doing interviews with interesting people, authors, and people in the marketing field and a variety of different, from a variety of different backgrounds. But I just loved the way she asked questions, the way she engaged her audience. She was like a pro at something that most people were still kind of learning. It was, you know, she was like somebody who seemed like they had been doing this professionally somewhere else. And of course, I don't think she had ever done it before, but she just came across that way. And she's got a world of talent. Now she's podcasting, actually.
Oh, that's
she's
cool.
She's been podcasting lately. But I think her show really made an impact on Blab. That was definitely one of the most well done, professional, consistent, respectful to the audience, just a sense of community. Had all the right elements for what she was doing. You know, Mitch Jackson's been somebody who's always been kind of on the front lines of what's going on. He's been in every prediction like Jenny Q since the beginning.
Okay.
There are only three people, Jenny Q, Mitch Jackson, who brought live streaming into the legal profession when there were like no lawyers ever thought about doing something like this. And then Jenny Mustafa Julak, who goes by Coach Jenny. I actually knew her prior to getting into live streaming. And we reconnected through Blab. And she's been in it every year, and she really built her business as a coach, not by trying to become a broadcaster, but by building community and putting people in the quote-unquote hot seat on private, more private style, you know, not trying to blast out to the world, but let me show you how I can help you. Let me show you how I can coach. And she actually used Blab and other live stream platforms to write her book. So those are kind of that's kind of my foundation, is like what those three were doing. And there's a lot of other people in the beginning. Brian Fanzo's somebody, he's not in these two books, but he was part of the predictions for a while. And he's the one who, you know, a post or a tweet or something of his is what led me to step into Blab, which I had no clue what I was getting into. Wow. I thought it was like some super chat or something like that, you know, some big Twitter chat on steroids or something. I didn't know why he was going to this Blab platform to talk about it, but he was there everywhere on Periscope, on Blab, and pushing live streaming and evangelizing it. And So I give him a lot of credit for helping put live streaming on the map amongst independent creators and marketers and tech people.
Yeah, man, that's all, you know, I love it. I love that you talk so much about community, man, because I think that's what, you know, your book is about. It's a lot of people in the community. But, you know, I was listening to that, to the show where you were with Monty Weaver, and he was, and Monty was saying, hey, I heard about Amazon Live through you, Ross, and then I learned about Amazon Live through him and Chris Giles, and so I'm like, oh, wow, wait, this is like, you know, so it's cool that, you know, this is more than just something we do, but it's this community that we're all a part of, that we're all building, and, you know, I've followed you around for a while and learned about what you're doing, and then you're like, yeah, I like your show, and I'm like, oh, I didn't even know you knew who I was or whatever, right. And then, you know, Brent and I are connected, and you and Brent are connected, and so it's just this whole growing ecosystem. So, man, I love that you brought that up. And so now, out of all of these predictions for this year, for this book, for Volume 2, I know you are a student of the live streaming world, and you're probably leading the pack in a lot of ways, but was there any prediction that you're like, holy cow, I didn't know that, or I didn't see that coming, that kind of caught you off guard?
I mean, I'm just looking at glancing down at the book now, because there are so many that are really powerful and really get to the heart of it, that I'm not even sure I could, off the top of my head, pick out one.
Yeah.
There's so many good ones. I'd say that like you could narrow it down to some themes, I think.
Okay.
That if you look at some of the themes that run through a lot of the most interesting predictions, a lot of the best creators, one is you've got to know who your audience is, and you've got to really focus on what they want. If you're doing this as a business, you've got to be focusing on the audience and how they change, and how what they want can change, and how you have a niche and you need to feed people in that niche. Other people have said it, like I think what Jenny Q said that you wrote, but I'm big on saying now you're the differentiator is getting good at this. Like, yes, this is business. Yes, it's marketing. Yes, it's building an audience. It's also still a kind of broadcasting, and if you're not fun to listen to, if you're not engaging, if you don't make people think or laugh or learn something, if you don't keep it moving, if you don't make it a pleasurable experience, if you're not able to do your calls to action in a way that entice an audience, not sort of turn them off, there's just too much competition out there, and the platforms aren't helping us at all right now.
Yeah.
These platforms, Facebook and, you know the platforms. I'm not going to name them and get dinged on all of them. They became the most powerful companies in the history of the world off the backs of the independent creator, who they said, put your content on here. It's free. Put your content on here. Build your business on here. Start a group. Start a channel. Start a community. We'll give you even some tools to monetize. And then all of a sudden, there'll be a pandemic that comes along. You'll be desperate to reach people, and your only outlet will be online. And what we're going to do is we're going to throttle you. We're going to cut you down. We're not going to share your stuff with nearly as many people anymore. We're going to limit organic reach, and we're going to go all in with big media, big companies, and celebrities, and the heck with the people who made us, you know, wealthier than anybody ever walked the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Okay.
I read Dave.
I'm going out there a little bit on this, but
it's good.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
I feel about where things are at.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? It means you got to provide something really good, and then you've got to get your audience the heck off of social media to somewhere else. You've got to have, could be an event platform. It could be an in-person meetup. It could be just a matter of going to your website. You have to have some other place where your core fans, your core people who consume your content and want access to you, go and they pay, and then they can get, you know, everything. They can ask you, like, you're putting this material out for free. Maybe you're monetizing it with some sponsorships, all good, right? But now you have to give your audience a chance to also contribute something for access, for exclusive content. What can you do beyond what you're putting on social? And you probably shouldn't be sharing everything only on social if they're not sharing it to everybody. Back in the days when, you know, you'd go live on LinkedIn and every single person in your network got pinged and could show up and you could have thousands of people watching. If that still exists for you, or you have a Facebook page with 100,000 to a million followers, so even if 3% get notified and a half of a percent show up, you're having a community event, that's fine. But if you're a smaller creator, an independent creator, and even the bigger ones are getting throttled, you've got to find other ways to monetize. And like I say, access is big, but so is exclusive content. So is courses, memberships. So now you're not focusing on, oh, I had a 1,000 people view or 100,000 people view or oh, I only got 50 people. It's more how many people took the next step to get in touch with me? Did they join my email list? Did they, you know, download a free PDF? Did they sign up for a low cost item that I have? Or, you know, how are you using business metrics, not social metrics, to evaluate the success? So yeah. A show with 1,000 viewers, but nobody follows up, is far less valuable than a show of 10 viewers, but 3 set up calls in order to explore hiring you as a consultant, right?
Yeah.
So you have to start thinking, I'm not going to reach everybody. I'm probably not going to become internet famous. I'm not saying rule it out, but I'm saying don't base your strategy on going viral because it doesn't happen very often. And if it does happen, you're not going to be ready to capitalize on it anyway. But base your strategy on what can move the needle for your business. And that's different in 2022 than it was even a couple years ago, even pre-pandemic.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, and the other reason why I say, you know, get good at this, get good at being a host, get good at delivering quality content. And I think the reason that's so important is the mystery is no longer here, right? Pre-pandemic, there'd be a lot of people watching and we go, how does that Billy get Ross on? And they're having this conversation and their videos there. Well, after the pandemic, when everybody was doing business on Zoom, there's no more mystery in this. Like, wow, it's cool he's doing that. I wonder how he's doing that. Let me just watch, because who's ever seen my friend look like he's on TV, right? That mystery is gone, right? Now that the average person has a microphone and a webcam and spends half their day, you know, in virtual meetings on these platforms, now what can you do to entertain them and engage them in a way that doesn't seem like going to another business meeting when you go live or upload a premiere on YouTube or whatever. So it's the game's gotten harder, but the good news is if you've been building an audience and you have people who are interested in what you do and you're good at it, I think audiences are more accepting than ever of you selling something and being okay with paying for something of quality.
Yeah.
To be able to save time and cut through the noise and get to something that they want to consume, and to be able to talk to the creator who's got something that they want to learn from or they want to engage with or be part of a community, I think people are more willing than ever to pay for that because they're buying time. They're cutting through all the steps of, oh, I hope I'll find the live stream and I can ask somebody, or I'll find a YouTube video. Like, let me go to the person that I trust and pay them a certain amount every week or every month. But now I've got access to ask them questions. I've got the best content, my favorite show. I'll have that every week or whatever. And so there's an opportunity there, but it can't be just living on, you know, Facebook Live. And it's, I'm using Facebook as a substitute because they're probably the one who pulls the carpet out the most from under creators at times. But nobody's innocent in this game.
Yeah, right. So Ross, I love that, first of all. And you know, we're kind of coming up to, you know, toward the end of the show here. But one thing I did want to ask you And I think this industry, even over, like you said, over the last 3 or 4 years that I've been in it, that I've been watching it, it's way easier. The price of entry, the point of entry is way smaller, way slimmer to get into. And like you said, the mystery's out of it. And it's similar to like the music world. You know, I remember like you had to go spend $20,000 to record in a studio somewhere, a couple tracks, but then all of a sudden it was like Pro Tools for your computer and interfaces. And now everyone can create, but it did come down to like, who's the best, like who creates the best, gets the most attention. So when we're doing this as live streamers, I'll just say content creators in general, what are some ways that you think that Billy Thorpe, Creating Daily, can get better at being a host? Like, is there a school of hosting I go to? Is there just do it every, just be dumb and start a daily show and try to keep up? Like, how do we get better at our skills and our crafts?
Well, you'll certainly get better from doing it every day. I mean, there's no question. You're pretty good, but you're gonna get better through repetition. I mean, it's just natural. If you have some talent for it, that talent will get refined, and you'll get better at it, and you'll learn other ways of doing things, and you'll say, okay, I could do this A or I could do this B, but A is better. Let's go with that all the time instead of shifting back and forth. You'll get more comfortable in how you ask for things, how you transition the show, how you promote what's coming up, how you recap at the end. I think it's important to make the most of it. And you know this, you're like the last person I have to tell this, but it's important to make the most of every piece of content. So if you go live once a week or once a month, the audience that watches you live or watches the full replay is a tiny percentage of the people who could potentially learn about you, who you are, what you do, and if they don't come to watch your shows, still may become fans of you or your business, you know, may purchase from you, may recommend you to other people. And that's by taking your best stuff or stuff that represents what you do and getting it everywhere. I call it the portfolio method, right? Mm-hmm. You have a YouTube channel. You go live on wherever you go live, take a 3 to 5 minute clip of solving one problem or answering one question that people want the answer to, make a video out of that. Take a 30 second to 1 minute clip and put it on Instagram. Maybe put a wrapper around it, you know, some text above and below to make a square out of it. Put that on Instagram. Take a screenshot. Share it on Twitter, you know, write a blog post about it, put some links in, you know, there's so many different ways to get it out there. And what you're going to find is in the scroll on Instagram and through people you're connected to on Facebook, friends and family, they're interested in what you're doing. They may never come over and watch a show, but now all these folks know what you're doing. They know you come to mind when they think of a content creator or a live streamer. And if you're talking about business opportunities or ways that you help people, people will pass that word on, or just it'll make an impression. And when they need the product or service you provide, they're going to come over. So a lot of people are seeding space that's free and easy to use by not sharing their stuff.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah, man. Oh, bless you. So Ross,
did I mute that in time?
You got it, man. I think you nailed it. All right.
I went to the mixer rather than the Zoom mute.
Yeah, that's
my point is when I say get off social media, I mean you can't do it all on social media, yeah. Right? But for God's sake, take what is easy to put together, a screenshot, a 30-second clip, a 5-second reel, whatever it is, and throw it out there so that people know what you're doing. And if it's your best stuff, even better. And then, you know, put a clip of that one impactful 30-second moment where, you know, people really see what you're about and how you help people or where you're an expert or whatever. Get that on your website and other places where people would go to learn about you when they hear or they think, hey, I might like to work with Billy. Let me Google him. What's going to come up? Your YouTube channel, your website, your LinkedIn page, your one sheet. And I'm going to go there and check it out. I'm going to maybe play a video. I'm probably not going to watch very long, but I'll watch for a few seconds and I'll go, Yeah, I heard he's good. Now I know he's good. Yeah, I could. I want to work with this guy. I want to go on his show. I want to buy what he's selling or whatever. And that's the power of repurposing. And too many times people are leaving that opportunity. They're leaving money on the table by not doing it because they're too concerned, like not enough people are coming to the show. But you've got to look at live streaming in part as this is quick time to market for creating content.
That's good.
Now, how do I get that content where it can get the most impact for my business? And that means online, offline, email, you know, everywhere, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's such good advice, Ross. And I'm in that moment right now where, you know, I've been podcasting for a while, been creating, you know, audio and video for a really niche podcast. And then through that, learned that I could help other podcasters, you know, monetize. And now with Creating Daily, it's all about bringing on people like you who are inspirational, right, who've been doing this for a while, to give other people permission to create and say, hey, it's not impossible. Like, it's more possible now than ever before, and it's easier now than ever before, and to inspire and motivate and encourage them in that journey. And so now I'm kind of, after a month of doing this live show, kind of like in that phase two where it's like, I have all this content, man. I got 27, right, 28 shows, and now I got to get a strategy to start chopping this stuff up and putting it everywhere. So thanks for reminding me.
Don't feel burdened by it either. I mean, take a 30-second clip from today or tomorrow or the next day. Like, just start where you are now. I mean, of course you can go back and, you know, if you know, but one of the worst things that I've trapped myself in at times is thinking, okay, I got to go back. I still haven't put up episode 3 and, you know, now I'm on episode 30 or what. Like, just go to episode 30 and grab a clip and put it out.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
The audience doesn't really know 30 from 3. Just get out there what you're doing now and start sending them to your latest thing. And then, you know, if you have time and money to either do it yourself or outsource it, of course you can go back. But I think the value is start doing it now, and, you know, you'll see dividends down the road from even doing it this week. And one more thing to add on the value, I think, of live streaming beyond audience numbers and things, it's the relationships. It's the fact that you have a platform to connect with people in ways that, you know, might not be that always that easy with people you don't know. You have something of value to offer them. Hey, Ross, come on and talk about your book. Okay. What time? Now, I would have said yes anyway, because I like what you're doing. So you didn't have to pitch me for anything. I like what you're doing. I like creators. And I think part of being a host too is going on other people's shows.
Yeah.
And seeing it from this vantage point and maybe talking a little more in long form than when I'm the host of my own interview and I'm putting the spotlight on the guest. I get to come on and play with my ideas a little bit and see where we'll put them out in the wild and see, you know, what's going on in my head and how it sounds out there on a recording and on live and to other people and to myself when I go back and take a look. But you are able to connect with people, and those relationships will also be of value. Who doesn't like going on a show and getting a nice intro and having their product promoted and, you know, having a conversation that's about their area of subject matter interest? And so you keep doing that every day for even a month, and now you've got 30, you may have 30 new connections or deepen your connections to 30 people that maybe you knew through social a little bit, but you didn't really know. But if people have a positive experience as a guest, they're going to credit you for providing that experience to them.
That's good. Yep. That's how, you know, that's how I view podcasting as well. You know, podcasting and live streaming, anywhere you have a guest, it's exactly what you said. Like, you know, you and I saw each other's one sheet. We probably saw each other on Facebook groups. For 2 or 3 years, I've probably seen your content and people talking about Ross Brand, but I never had a way to connect because I was doing a show that didn't make sense for us to have a conversation about. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, I get to connect with Ross. And then this person knows that person and they got us connected and that type of stuff. And same thing with your book. I mean, I'm thinking for creators who bring on other people or business owners who bring on other people to their podcast or their live show, I now have 130 plus people that reading.
You're looking for a YouTuber. Yeah. Let's see. 24, Dan Currier.
Yeah. I love Dan Currier.
41,
yeah.
Professor Nez. Let's see. Can just flip through and you start landing on people. And that's one way that the book can be useful, as well as just, you know.
That's what I thought.
You don't have to read to cover. You can skip. If you're interested in YouTube, you're going to find probably 10 YouTubers or more in there. If you're interested in podcasting, you'll find 10 or more podcasters and so forth.
Yeah, man. That's what I thought was really cool about it. I was like, oh, thanks, Ross, for doing all this hard work. Now I can, you know, because it's cool, too, because I could read the book and go, oh, you know what? I don't agree with Dan Currier. I mean, which I read his thing, I agree with it. But just an example, like, maybe I don't agree with it. That's some really good content. That's some good contrast. Right, that's bringing it up to the next level. Say, hey, you know what? You know, Dave Jackson, I read your kind of little rant towards Spotify. I disagree with you. Like, come on the show and let's talk about it. Like, I'm sure he would love that, you know? So it's kind of cool, man. I love the book.
And next year you'll be able to say, hey, Dave Jackson, I was also in 100 predictions this year. I was wondering if you'd want to come on and talk about our predictions.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I mean, and it's networking within the book as well. So, Ross, I love it, man. You've shared so much knowledge with us, so much wisdom, you know, from the time spent with live streamers and other creators. Is there anything else that you want to leave my audience with before we head out of here?
I'm good. You know, if anybody wants to connect with me, livestreamuniverse.com, and find the book on Amazon and find booksellers near you.
I love it, man. So it's everywhere out there. It's everywhere it can be.
Yeah, it comes with a digital full color download. So whether you get the ebook, which doesn't have many pictures in it, or you get the print book, which has black and white pictures at the start of every chapter, you'll also get a link to download for free a full color digital version where you can see it's basically like kind of the print layout, but without the gutters. But it's got a full color photo, of every single creator with their quote and
very cool.
Some, full color collage and some other things. So,
that's
awesome. There's also some special offers that I reached out to some companies. So that comes free with the book, too. So.
Awesome, Ross. Well, man, I appreciate it, and I'll bring this up. You don't have to answer, or if it changed, no big deal. But on Monty's episode that you guys did, I keep referring back to it, you had mentioned maybe working one-on-one with some people. Is that open? Can people reach out to you and work one-on-one with you still?
So I do work one-on-one with people. I was actually planning on doing what I was calling an incubator, where I would have a group of people, and I would work with them in a very much an intensive format, and at the end of a month, every one of them would be into their own show and have been sort of trained on hosting and have experience hosting my shows. I'm still planning to do that, but it got pushed back a little bit with the book launch and some other things. So if anybody's interested in that, just message me on any of the social platforms, and I'll make sure to get back to you and let you know when we are going to start that. It's going to be just a small group. I'm not taking more than 10 people, and it's going to be like you learn it all. You learn everything you need to know to host a show at a high level.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, Ross, I appreciate you again. I'm going to have you back on the show. There's so many subjects I wanted to get into. I'm like, oh, I can just ask you about all this stuff. But man, thank you so much for jumping on, and we'll see you next time for sure. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, everyone, thank you so much for watching. If you joined in live or if you're checking out the replay, I really appreciate that. One way that you can help, first of all, go to Ross's onesheet.pro/RossBrand and get his book, either the digital version or the hard copy. Follow him. I mean, he is in the know, and he knows a lot of creators. So if you need help or whatnot, just connect with him. I think it's a great connection. I'm thankful that my friend Brent over at One Sheet connected us together. And so it was a great episode. Really appreciate Ross coming on. And then also be sure to go to creatingdailylive.live. You can go over there. Check out all the places where the show is going to be. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Bullhorn, all that fun stuff. That's one way you can support the show as well. And then join me tomorrow. I'm going to have Katie Brinkley back on. She's my Tuesday co-host. And we're going to talk about social media engagement. So, you know, Ross in this episode was just talking about how do you build these relationships, curate these relationships on social media, and then pull them into your ecosystem in different ways, whether it be a course or a workshop or one-on-one or whatever that is, you know, for you as a creator or a business to bring that to the next level. Well, Katie's going to be sharing some tips, and I'll share some tips as well of how to get that engagement up, how to build that relationship right there where they're at on social media. That way you can move them comfortably for you and them to the next level. So join us tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern time here on Creating Daily. And once again, hit that subscribe button, hit that follow button, and we'll talk to you soon.